السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته يا شيخنا.
Hello, Amir. How are you?
السلام عليكم. الحمد
Yeah.
لله.
Can we go on?
نعم يا شيخ.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. We are continuing the reading of our book Al-Adab al-Mufrad by Al-Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah, a book that the Imam Al-Imam al-Bukhari has compiled to help us understand and give us illustrations from the life of the Messenger alayhi salatu wa salam and his companions about our relationship and our dealings with people. How do we handle our relationship with people? The last group of discussions have been about the use of the tongue and how it either negatively or positively affects our relationship. And then we came on to the discussions about at-tamadu, praising someone and being excessive in praise. We came out of that to understand that the Sunnah, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, prohibited that we praise people and become excessive in praising them, either by mentioning of them traits that they do not have, just to be able to praise them. You say about the individual, things that are of him, he does not have those traits, or you just want to praise him, this is bad. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam likened doing that to killing the man, or that he has those traits, but you begin to repeatedly say them to him. You begin to say them to him, and by the time he knows, he is led into arrogance and self-amazement. The man begins to think that no one else is like him. He is better than everybody, the like of that. So gradually, arrogance and self-amazement begins to creep into the mind. And that's why Umar radiallahu anhu, as we read in the previous classes, he would say that al-madhu zabhun, al-madhu zabhun. Praise is slaughtering. When you praise the man, you slaughter the man. You slaughter his humility. You slaughter his humbleness. You slaughter his modesty. Then the man begins to become aggressive, looking down upon the rest of the people and all of that. We followed yesterday with a chapter from the same book where Al-Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah made us understand that in addition to all of what has been said about the negative repercussions of cursing people, Al-Bukhari rahimahullah made us understand that there are cases when praise is praiseworthy, such as when you are confident that inshallah this person about whom good is being said will not be set off balance. Inshallah, he will not be set off balance. His deen and his nice personality. We gave examples on how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would praise his companions. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would praise Abu Bakr al-Siddiq. He would praise Umar. He will praise Uthman and the rest of them. All the companions also got encomium from Allah inside the Quran. But we gave an example of things that indicated that those praises the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave to those companions, they were very, very deserving of those praises. They deserved it. They were things regarding which we would find in them. They were things that Allah accepted from them. And their conduct afterward showed that they did not fall. They were not, you know, they did not suffer any evil repercussion because of those praises. You mentioned yesterday that Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said about him that he is atiqullahi minanna. He also said, ma nafa'ani malu Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, and many other words of praise for Abu Bakr. Yet, Abu Bakr became a man who, when he was praised, the response he gave, radiallahu anhu, was that, Allahumma la tu'akhidni bima yakulu, O Allah, do not hold me responsible for these words of praise and approval. Waghfirli ma la ya'lamun, forgive me what they know not about me from my shortcomings. Waj'alni khayra mimma yazunun, make me better than they positively think of me. If they have things they think of me positive, make me better in those things. All of these go to make us understand that rather than bring them down, those words of praises encourage them to do more. And there's a general verse in the Quran regarding these companions about the fact that, despite the fact that they were being praised by Allah in the Quran, they were praised by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The praise did not kill them. In Surah Al-Mu'minun, Allah told us about the people of Iman and Taqwa somewhere around in verse 55 to 65. Allah said, وَالَّذِينَ يَتُونَ مَا آتَوا وَقُلُوبُهُمْ وَجِلَةٌ أَنَّهُمْ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ رَجِعُونَ. وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْتُونَ مَا آتَوْا, those who يُؤْتُونَ مَا آتَوْا, they did what they were commanded to do. They observed the salah correctly. They accepted iman. They gave sadaqah. They made nawafil. They went on jihad fi sabilillah. They did all of these. وَقُلُوبُهُمْ وَجِلَةٌ أَنَّهُمْ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ رَجِعُونَ. Yes. Their hearts trembled. They were full of care and worry. They were anxious that perhaps if they return to Allah, is there a guarantee that these good deeds will be accepted? They feared that those deeds be rejected. So that one spoiled them, and Allah said to us that أُولَٰئِكَ يُسَارِعُونَ فِي الْخَيْرَاتِ وَهُمْ لَهَا سَابِقُونَ. أُولَٰئِكَ يُسَارِعُونَ فِي الْخَيْرَةِ. Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, Umar, Uthman, Ali, Abdul Rahman ibn Awf, Mu'adh ibn Jabal, Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, all these companions, radiallahu anhum, these encomium and praise that they got, يُسَارِعُونَ فِي الْخَيْرَةِ, still with it, he made haste towards acts of goodness. They still pursued goodness. They still ran to become better than they were. وَهُمْ لَهَا سَابِقُونَ, and they became leaders upon the path of goodness. They were not brought aback. They were not shut down by the praise. So for the sake of Allah, if you praise someone, I know that this praise is going to bring him down. Don't praise him. Pray for him for the sake of Allah. Don't praise the man. Pray for him. Pray for him instead. Don't praise the man, so that he do not shut him down in his humility. But if we think good of him so much that we think that if we praise him rather than shut him down, it will push him ahead, it will support him, it will encourage him, it will further motivate me. Then we can say good words of approval, words of praise without going beyond bounds. It should be balanced. It should be a balanced expression of good regarding the man. So Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah told us where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as was reported by Abu Huraira, he praised Abu Bakr al-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. He said, Naima al-Rajulu Abu Bakr. Abu Bakr is a nice man. Abu Bakr is decent. Naima al-Rajulu Umar. Umar is an excellent, pleasant, noble person. Naima al-Rajulu Abu Ubaidah. Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu is a decent, nice man. Naima al-Rajulu Usayd ibn Hudayr. Usayd ibn Hudayr is a nice man. Naima al-Rajulu Thabit ibn Qais al-Shammas ibn al-Shammas. Thabit ibn Qais ibn al-Shammas is a nice person. That was the man regarding whom the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Bal huwa min ahli al-Jannah. We mentioned that regarding him yesterday, about the verse in Surah Al-Hujurat. Likewise, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke about Mu'adh ibn Amr ibn al-Jamuh, the man who killed Abu Jahl in the Battle of Badr. I recall that one of the brothers asked whether Abu Jahl was killed by Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. No, Abu Jahl was killed by Amr ibn al-Jamuh and his brother. I was killed by Mu'adh ibn Amr ibn al-Jamuh and his brother. So, and that occurred in Sahih al-Bukhari. The report that Abu Jahl was killed by Mu'adh occurred in Sahih al-Bukhari. And then the Prophet also, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, poured encomium on Mu'adh ibn Jabal. He said, Ni'ma al-Rajulu Mu'adh ibn Jabal. And then he expressed the evil in some of the people like the Munafiqun. The point here is that Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, rahimahullah, Man athna, babu man athna ala sahibihi in kana aminan bihi. The chapter about the one who will praise his companion or his colleague. In kana aminan bihi. If he is comfortable that, if he is certain that, if he is hopeful that such praise will not push him to self-amazement and arrogance. That was why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam praised those persons. The next hadith in that chapter is hadith 338. In it, Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, rahimahullah, haddathana Ibrahim, qala haddathana Muhammad ibn Fulayh, qala haddathana Abi, an Abdurrahman, an Abdullah ibn Abdurrahman, an Abi Yunus Mawla, عائشة رضي الله عنها أن عائشة رضي الله عنها قالت استأذن رجل على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم بئس ابن العشيرة فلما دخل هش له وانبسط إليه فلما خرج الرجل استأذن آخر قال نعم ابن الأشيرة فلما دخل لم ينبسط إليه كما انبسط إلى الآخر ولم يهش إليه كما هش للآخر فلما خرج قلت يا رسول الله قلت لفلان ما قلت ثم هششت إليه وقلت لفلان ما قلت ولم أرك صنعت مثله قال يا عائشة إن من شر الناس من اتقي لفحشه إن من شر الناس من اتقي لفحشه. الإمام البخاري reported this from his Shaykh Ibrahim, and that was Ibrahim ibn al-Mundhir. Ibrahim ibn al-Mundhir is the Shaykh of al-Imam al-Bukhari in this hadith, and he is reporting from Muhammad ibn Fulayh. Muhammad ibn Fulayh is the son of Fulayh ibn Sulayman. That's why he said, Haddafani أو قال حدثنا أبي. His father is Fulayh ibn Sulayman, a very, very popular reporter of hadith, regarding whom there are a lot of issues amongst the scholars. Fulayh ibn Sulayman, he has a number of hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari, and here also in Al-Adab al-Mufrad, Al-Imam al-Bukhari has mentioned his report. Fulayh ibn Sulayman. He is reporting from Abdullah ibn Abdul Rahman. He's reporting from Abdullah ibn Abdul Rahman ibn Ma'mar al-Ansari. Abdullah ibn Abdul Rahman ibn Ma'mar al-Ansari is reporting from Abu Yunus, one of the three slaves of Aisha radiallahu anha. And he was not alone in this report. Abu Yunus, the freed slave of Aisha, was not alone in this report. This hadith has been widely reported from Aisha radiallahu anha. If we go back to it, it occurs in Sahih al-Bukhari. It occurs in Sahih al-Muslim. It occurs in Sunan Abi Dawud. It occurs in Sunan al-Tirmidhi. And all the various reports occur also in the Musnad of Al-Imam Ahmad. And so if you combine all these reports, you will see that Mujahid ibn Jabr al-Makki, rahimahullah, also reported from Aisha radiallahu anha, apart from Yunus, who has reported this very report we have. Mujahid reported it. Urwa ibn Zubayr reported it. Abu Salama, the son of Abdul Rahman ibn Awf, reported it. Urwa ibn Mughira ibn Shu'ba. Mughira ibn Shu'ba had a son whose name was Urwa. Urwa ibn Mughira. He also reported this hadith from our mother Aisha radiallahu anha. Why have we mentioned those who reported from our mother Aisha? We have reported it because there is a part of the narration that was only reported from this isnad in this book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad. And we'll come back to it, inshallah. So a part of this hadith is sahih. This particular report in 338 of our book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad. It has been reported by all those who collected the hadith. Mujahid ibn Jabr, Urwa ibn Zubayr, Abu Salama ibn Abd al-Rahman ibn Yawf, Urwa ibn al-Mughira ibn Shu'ba, and so on. They've all reported a part of it together with Abu Yunus. But there is a part of it that's not reported by all the rest of the people that the ulama have mentioned, the scholars of hadith have mentioned to be weak. We will come back to it, inshallah. But firstly, let us understand what the report says. Aisha radiallahu anha said, Ista'adana rajulun ala rasulillah. A man asked the permission to come into the house of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Like saying, Assalamu alaykum. And then knocking the door. This is the way to ask for permission to come into the room. Allah told us in the Quran, Ya ayyuhallazina amanu, la tadkhulu buyutakum hatta tasta'nisu wa tusallimu ala ahliha. Do not come into a room. Do not come into an apartment. Do not come into a home. Hatta tasta'nisu wa tusallimu. Until you have asked for permission and said taslim. However, the ulama say to us that this has come ala ba'di taqdeem wa ta'khir. the first thing you do if you seek permission to come into a place is to suddenly Allah Ahliha. You first of all say Taslim, Assalamu alaikum, but as Spanish, then you either knock the door or you say Adkhul. But the first thing to say in the manners of saying making is the exam, asking for permission to come into a room or an apartment, is to say first Assalamu Adkhul, or you say Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, then you gently tap the door, not bang it. And when you do this, you do not stand right in front of the door. Aisha radiallahu anha said, Ista'adana rajulun ala rasulillah. A man asked for permission to come in to the house of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Faqala rasulillah. The Prophet knew who it was alayhi salatu wa sallam. And so he said regarding the man, Bi'sa ibn al-Ashira. Bi'sa ibn al-Ashira. The ulama said the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam meant to say that this huwa min qawmihi. This is a bad person from his community. This is a bad man. This ibn al-Ashira. This is a bad man. This is a bad person from his tribe, the bad son of the tribe. This ibn al-Ashira, the bad son of the tribe. The Prophet spoke about the man who was asking for permission to come into the house, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So what explanation was that? Anyway, we come back to it, inshallah. فَلَمَّا دَخَلَ أَشَّلَهُ وَانْبَسَطَ إِلَيْهِ. When the man came into the house, أَشَّلَهُ, the Prophet was pleased with him. وَانْبَسَطَ إِلَيْهِ, he was open and friendly with him. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this was the same person he had referred to as Bisa ibn al-Ashira, the bad son of the tribe, the bad son of the community, the bad son of the people. This statement is no doubt uncomplimentary. He wasn't praising the man. He was rather speaking negative about him. But when the man came in, Ashallahu, yani lana lahu, the Prophet was easy with him alayhi salatu was salam. Wanbasata ilayhi, he also became open to him. He cheered him up. He was cheerful with him. Falamma kharaja ar-rajulu ista'dhana akharu. From here is the weak part of this hadith. It is authentic that when a man came into the house asking for permission to come into the house, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Bi'sa ibn al-Ashira, this is a bad child of the tribe. The man came in, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam handled him with softness and cheerfulness. So, but this part of the narration that falamma kharaja ar-rajulu ista'dhana akharu, when that first man went away, another one asked for permission. No other person came in authentic report. So what is authentic is regarding the first man who came, that the Prophet gave a non-complimentary statement about. He came in, the Prophet was easy and cheerful with him, and then the man went away. But this part of the narration, that when he went away, another one came in, and the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ni'ma ibn al-Ashira, this is a nice son, this is a decent man from his community, this is a nice, excellent child of the tribe. And that falamma dakhala lam yanbasit ilayhi kama yanbasata ila al-akhari. But the Prophet lam yanbasit ilayhi, he wasn't showing him much cheerfulness, kaman basata ila al-akhari, as he had shown carefulness to the first person who came. Walam yahisha ilayhi kama hasha al-akhari, The Prophet was not soft with him as he was soft with the person. But I think this is the point of reference in this hadith. When the second person who was said to have come in killing, the Prophet did not show much cheerfulness. He was not as soft in his dealing with him as he was soft in the dealing with the other person, even though he had praised him before he came in. So what to deduce from this is the point of reference under this chapter heading, that perhaps the Prophet did not praise this man in his front, did not show much cheerfulness to him, did not show much softness to him, because if he did, the man may crumble to that action. It may make him feel proud. It may make him feel arrogant. It may make him feel, you know, a sense of conceitedness. So perhaps this was the reason why Al-Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah mentioned this hadith under this chapter heading. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was reported in this to have said to him, to Aisha before the man came, radiallahu anha, that this man is what Ni'ma ibn al-Ashira, is a noble, respectable, decent son of the tribe. This is an explanation, this is an expression of praise for that man. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when the man finally came in, he was reported not to have been very cheerful, very playful, very open and soft with him as he did with the other man. Perhaps this is because that man, the second man that he had praised, may fall for praise if he, after praising him, began to show a lot of cheerfulness and respect and all of this for the man. Perhaps that may lead the man to self-management. So let's not forget, if part of this report is not authentic, this part of this report is not authentic, what is authentically related by those who have reported this hadith in other books of hadith is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam received a request by a man to come to the house. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam knew the man and said to him that he is Bi'sa ibn al-Ashira, the bad son of the tribe. And that when the man came in, the Prophet was soft towards him and he was cheerful towards him. But the point remained that when the man went away, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَلَمَّا خَرَجَ الرَّجُلُ قُلْتُ Aisha said, radiallahu anha, when the man went away, I said, Ya Rasulallah, Messenger of Allah, قُلْتَ لِفُلَانٍ مَا قُلْتُ ثُمَّ هَشَشْتَ إِلَيْهِ You said about that man, the one you said that he was a bad son of the tribe. You said about him what you have said. ثُمَّ هَشَشْتَ إِلَيْهِ And thereupon he began to be soft towards him. He began to show him cheerfulness, even though you had said that he is a bad son of the tribe. And وَقُلْتَ لِفُلَانٍ مَا قُلْتُ وَلَمْ أَرَكَ صَنَعْتَ مِثْلَهُ And the one that you had prayed, I did not find you behaving like that towards him. He praised someone, he did not show him much cheerfulness. He criticized and dispraised someone, and then he showed him cheerfulness. Our mother asked radiallahu anha, why was it like that? And the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Aisha, O Aisha, inna min sharri nas man ittukhiya li fuhshihi. Inna min sharri nas man ittukhiya li fuhshihi. Inna min sharri nas. From the worst amongst the people, ittukhiya li fuhshihi, people who are, because of fahisha, because they are obscene and vulgar people. There are some people who we know them to be very obscene, very rash, very coarse, very unkempt in their speech, very vulgar, very negative. They abuse anybody, they insulted anybody. Because of that, people would avoid them. The first man who came was like this, was a very bad man. At that time, he was showing Islam, or he had not accepted Islam. That was Uyayna ibn Hussein. It's that time. Lam yakun aslama at that time. Wa in kana qad azhara al-Islam. Even though he was sure. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam referred to him as Ibsa ibn al-Ashira, the best son of the tribe, because this man was showing that he had accepted Islam while he had not accepted Islam. And he was a very dangerous man. Uyayna ibn Hussein was a dangerous man who mixed with Muslims behaving like that when he had not actually accepted Islam. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam أراد أن يبين حاله لي. He wanted to expose his condition so that he knew this man is a hypocrite. He's just behaving to be like us, but he is not like Allah alayhi wa sallam, so that the man's condition will be known. So another question is, so why did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, why was he soft with the man? And why was he cheerful with him after he came? He was soft with him and cheerful with him. So that he is careful about the evil from the hands of that man. And being soft and cheerful with him will not prevent him from getting Islam. It will be like an encouragement for him to accept Islam. It will also be a means of not to the Muslims. And that was why I in Sharina's money took here for from the worst of the people are those who are them, or you deal in a particular way to get them to feel comfortable, but you are also scared they can be evil. They can cause distress, and you are showing them courtesy just to be careful regarding them. These are from the worst of people. In the expression in of this hadith in Sahih Muslim, the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, inna sharra nasi inda Allahi yawm al-qiyam. The worst of the people in the sight of Allah yawm al-qiyama, on the day of qiyamah, man wada'ahu nas. Those people, the people abandon, they set them aside, because they are afraid of evil from them. So when the man came in, the Prophet gave a negative statement so that the man's condition may be known. When the man came in, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was careful to him so as to avoid evil from him, so as to avoid any dangerous thing from this man, while being careful after knowing his true condition, that this man is evil, but we have to be careful in handling him. And then when he handled him with carefulness, it will, inshallah, help the man be able to accept Islam. He later accepted Islam and bettered his Islam. But the point of reference here, why Al-Imam al-Bukhari has brought this hadith here, was regarding the second man who came. As in this report, the man came in to perfect praise him, but he did not show him much cheerfulness, perhaps, so that the man does not become derailed because of show of honor and respect. He may begin to think that, oh, I am the best person, and then he becomes shot down in his humility and his modesty. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam only showed the man cheerfulness that was sufficient to keep him with him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that was why Al-Imam al-Bukhari mentioned his narration under this chapter. If you are relating with a person that is likely to become arrogant towards you, if you praise him and you show him a lot of loyalty, you show him a lot of honor and esteem, the man may become hurtful, the man may become proud, the man may become self-amazed. Be balanced in it. Don't go all out to show him that kind of positive approval, or begin to verbally praise him. Don't do that. If doing so will lead to the man's being arrogant regarding himself, I hope that the lesson is taken here. It is allowed to praise a man. If praising him will not lead him to arrogance and self-amazement. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had praised some of his companions. Allah himself subhanahu wa ta'ala praised them in the Quran. And that still makes them to become arrogant. Like Allah told us, the praises for that encouraged them to be of good deeds, and they became leaders of ungoodness. So if you know that praising a person will encourage him, then praise him. If you know that saying something good about a person will help him do better, then do so. If you know that it will encourage him, it will help him be better, it will make him feel less disturbed by the challenges that he has faced trying to achieve that good deed, say it. If it is patting him at the back, pat him at the back. If it is saying, well done, you have done well, say, well done, you have done well. If he has done the job better than every other person, and saying it will encourage him, tell him, if he needs a prize, for it, give him a prize. So this is a prize for your good job, for your diligence on your job. If that will encourage him and encourage others too, then praise him, say well of him, and pour encomium on him, honor him, show him approval. But if you fear that that may lead the man to arrogance, it may lead the man to self-amazement and destroy his humility and modesty, then you shouldn't do so. And for us who may have praise, if you become praised, behave like Abu Bakr, behave like Umar, behave like Uthman. Don't allow the praise to get into your mind. Say what Abu Bakr used to say, or say what Abu Bakr would say, because Abu Bakr is a deep radiallahu anhu. When people praise him, he would say, Allahumma la tu'akhidni bima yaqulun wa ghfir li ma la ya'lam waj'alni khayran mimma yazunnun. So that was the way of Abu Bakr al-Siddiq. I hope that this hadith 338 is clear, inshallah. And we can move to the next chapter. In it, Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, rahimahullah, Babun, Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, rahimahullah, Babun, yuhsa fi wujuhil maddahin. Yuhsa fi wujuhil maddahin. The chapter regarding the statement that yuhsa fi wujuhil maddahin. Al-maddahun are those who praise people. Al-Imam al-Khattabi, rahimahullah, had explained who are maddahun. He said, they are alladhina takhadhu madha an-nas. These people, maddahun, ittakhadhu madha an-nas adatan. They take praising people as a way of life. They are accustomed to praising people. Waja'aluhu bida'atan yasta'kiluna bihi al-mabduh. Ja'aluhu bida'atan. They make it like a product, something for sale. Yes, that يأكلون به الممدوح. They seek with this praising. They seek to obtain something to eat. They want to take something to eat. From who? From the ممدوح. الذين اتخذوا مدح الناس عادة وجعلوه بضاعة يستأكلون به الممدوح ويفتنونه به. Those who take praising people, I think this is an expression that would suit praise singers. Praise singers are those who go about praising people. That's their job, wherever they find a person. They know him, they don't know him, they start praising him. You're a rich man, you're an intelligent man, you are brilliant, you are this, you are that. They begin to praise the man, even though they may not know the man, even though they may not know anything praiseworthy about him. They begin to praise him, they begin to commend him, they begin to applaud the man. Why? They are accustomed to praising the people. This praising people, they make it like a product. They make it a means of to ask something from the hand of the person they are praising. That's why those praise singers, if you see them praising and praising and praising, if you don't give them something, they can turn to begin to abuse you. This was common even amongst the Arabs in the earlier times before Islam and even after Islam. We had people who would write verses of poems praising the person. And when they did not get what they wanted, they turned it into abuse and insult, like saying that they're a very stingy person and all of that, because the intention behind the praise itself is to get something to eat from you. These kinds of people are referred to as what? Maddahun. That's why you see it in Al-Mubalagha. Maddahun. Those who just regularly praise the people. So they praise the people just to look for something to eat. The chapter heading said, Yuhfa fi wujuhil maddahin. These kind of people, that what does the Sunnah say about pouring them dust on their faces? What did you hear? Yes. Pouring the pick dust from the ground. Pour them on the face. The chapter heading about pouring sand or dust on the face of Madahin. Yuhsa fi wujudin Madahin. Pouring dust or sand on the face of praise singers, people who take praising people as a job, just by means of eating from their hands and bringing them into fitna. These are Madahun. The Sunnah about that is to pour them sand on their face. We'll come back to explain more, inshallah. So that hadith occurs as hadith 339 in this book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad. Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, rahimahullah, haddathana Ali ibn Abdillah, qala haddathana Abdurrahman ibn Mahdi, This is the report, the chain of A'imma. Ali ibn al-Madini Imam, rahimahullah, he was one of the biggest teachers among the teachers of Al-Imam al-Bukhari, Ali ibn Abdullah ibn al-Madini. He is reporting from his Shaykh, Abdurrahman ibn Mahdi, from amongst the biggest scholars of Hadith. And he is also reporting from Sufyan ibn Sa'id, that's Al-Imam Sufyan al-Thawri, from amongst those who were referred to as Amirul Mu'minin his hadith. Sufyan ibn Sa'id al-Thawri, he is reporting from Habib ibn Abi Thabit. Habib ibn Abi Thabit is reporting from Mujahid, and Mujahid is reporting from Abu Ma'mar is Abdullah ibn Sakhbara. Abu Ma'mar, he is Abdullah ibn Sakhbara al-Kufi, well known from amongst the Tabi'un, rahimahumullah. He said, Qama rajulun yusni ala amirin min al-umara, فجعل المقداد يحفي في وجهه التراب، جعل المقداد يحفي في وجهه التراب. وقال أمرنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم أن نحفي في وجوه المداحين التراب. أمرنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم أن نحفي في وجوه المداحين التراب. أبو معمر عبد الله بن سخبرة رحمه الله قال: قام رجل يثني على أمير من الأمراء one day a man stood up and began to praise one of the umara, one of the rulers, like someone standing up to praise President Buhari, for example. He stood up and began to praise him. If we come back to Sahih Muslim, the person who was being praised was Uthman ibn Affan, radiallahu anhu. Uthman ibn Affan was a person of praise. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to praise him, and he got praises from the companions. He got praises from the tabi'in. Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu was a very virtuous companion of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salam, full of worship. He was full of modesty radiallahu anhu. One of what has been said about Uthman ibn Affan رضي الله عنه الإمام البيهقي البخاري الإمام ابن حجر mentioned it in Fath al-Bari and mentions it to be an authentic report, and many others too have mentioned it. Uthman ibn Affan used to read the Quran between Maghrib and Fajr. He would recite the entire Quran رضي الله عنه. Was said that in his Qiyam al-Layl, he would finish Quran, the entire Quran, in a single rak'ah. Uthman ibn Affan used to observe Qiyam al-Layl with a single rak'ah, reciting the entirety of the Quran. So he's a person of praise, radiallahu anhu. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had mentioned him from amongst the people of Al-Jannah. So in this narration, it is not about the person who is being praised. It is about the person who is praising someone who has taken praising people as a job, by means of seeking something to eat and over praising them to bring them fitna. That is the man that is called Madah. So here, Abu Ma'mar said, Qama rajulun yuthni ala amirin min al-umara. A man stood up and began to praise one of the rulers. We have known that that person who was being praised was Uthman ibn Affan. Fajal al-Miqdad, one of the companions of the Prophet who was present, Miqdad ibn al-Aswad, Miqdad ibn al-Aswad, rahimahullah, aw radiyallahu anhu. Miqdad was a companion from amongst the first of those who accepted Islam. Miqdad ibn al-Aswad was from amongst the first of those who accepted Islam, radiallahu anhu. Fajal al-Miqdad yahfi fi wajhi al-turab. Miqdad began to pour dust on the face of that man. So some of the scholars say, if you find someone praising someone to eat food, you find a praise singer praising the person. You are this, you are that, you are this, you are that, praising him. And that's his job. He does that to eat. He does that to make a living. Or pack the dust and pour him on his face. So Miqdad began to pour the dust on the face of that man who was praising Uthman, radiallahu anhum. And then he said, Amarana Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, anahfiya fi wujuhi al-matahin turab. أمرنا رسول الله أن نحفي في وجوه المداحين التراب. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commanded us to pour the dust on the face of المداحين, those praise people to eat food. They are just praising them. All they want from them, yes, they seek money, they seek food, they seek favor from the person that they are praising. No other than that. They just want to get something from him. And because of that, they begin to praise him. That is their job. These kinds of people, it will come across them, pour them sand on the face. So some of the ulama say, yes, that is actually what we should do. If you go to the next narration, something similar to that also happened to Abdullah ibn Umar, radiallahu anhu. He saw someone praising the other person. Ibn Umar packed the dust and poured in the face of that madah, that Mr. Priest singer. Ibn Umar poured him. So this means there are a number of companions who took this report in its apparent meaning. If you find a madah, pour him sand in the face. But others among the ulama say, what that means is that if you find a madah, don't give him anything. A praise singer, you may even be drumming, beating the drum, singing your praise, and all of that. Unfortunately, many of the people go start dancing. You start dancing when they are praising you. The Prophet said, pour him sand on the face for you are dancing. This is common among Yorubas. It's also in the north, especially if you go to the courtyard of emirs. There are people who this is their job. Once a visitor arrives, they begin to say praise you. It's very common, very, very common. Politicians, in fact, employ sing praisers. All of these are bad. Don't pay a sing praiser. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu salam, pour them sand in the face. Others among the scholars said that what that means is that don't give them anything. That when you don't give them anything, you would have disappointed them. And you're disappointing them in the disgrace that the Prophet met in that report. Allahu A'lam. When the people become encouraged and enlightened about things like this, things like that will stop, inshallah. Stop giving praise singers money. Don't give them money. If you are not able, because of our circumstance, to say you want to pack the sand and pour in his face, because we fear the evil repercussions from that, so we will not pour in sand in the face, you can at least hold back your money. Don't give praise singers money. People who will be singing praises by way of eating food, don't give them money. This is what the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, who had encouraged us to pour them sand in the face. The companions of the Prophet, Miqdad ibn Aswad, he did that right in the presence of the people and said, Amarana Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, An-nahfiya fi wujuhil maddahin at-turab. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commanded us to pour sand in the face of those who are maddahun. And who are maddahun? Al-maddahun are those people, ittakhadhu madhan nasi adatan, who become accustomed to praising people. Waja'aluhu bidha'atan. They make it, it means like a job. They make it like a product they are selling. Yastakiluna bihil mamduh. They seek by it to attract something to eat from the person that they are praising. Wayuftinuna bihi. And they bring him into fitna. They say of him what he is not. In most cases, they wouldn't even know the man. They begin to praise him. Don't give these people anything. If you don't give them something, it will have the ruling of pouring them sand in the face. I think this hadith is clear, bismillah, and we can come back to the rest of it in the next class. How do you handle praise singers? People who go about praising, how do you handle them? The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that we should have dust poured on their faces. And the scholars have interpreted that to mean that don't give them something. When you don't give them something, it's like disgracing them, as if to say you pour them sand in their face. I hope that this narration is clear, inshallah. we can stop here today so that we can take a few questions with Abu Amir, inshallah. Abu Amir, you have a few questions we can answer to. Abu Amir.
The first question here seems to be he's asking about the first hadith. If it does not fall under backbiting.
The first hadith does not fall under backbiting. We had explained when we discussed bringing down the people that there are a group of people who could be dangerous to the Ummah, but the people would not know they are dangerous. He comes to you, for example, he wants to marry your daughter, but he's known to be a man who, when he marries a woman, give him 2 years, he will divorce the woman. He goes about like that. He marries a woman, 2 years, he divorces her. He marries a woman, 2 years, he divorces her. He marries a woman, 2 years, he divorces her. Then he went to propose to the daughter of another man who knows you. That one comes to you and says, please, do you know this person? Say, yes, I know him. What can you say about him? You have a duty to explain to him that this man is not a man who is patient with women. He goes about divorcing women in the slightest mistake and the slightest excuse women commit. You can say that, and that's not backbiting. If you know him to be a very dishonest person, very dishonest, very untruthful, who lies and deceives the people, you can say that of him if it is necessary, so that the people do not become deceived by him. That man who first of all came in, and the Prophet said alayhi salatu wasalam about him, Bisa ibn al-Ashira, the bad child of a community, was really a very bad man at that time, Uyayna ibn Husayn. He had not accepted Islam, but he was showing to people that he had accepted Islam, and he was a very dangerous man. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had to expose him, that the people should know that this man is only staining Islam, and he could be dangerous in the middle of the Muslims. He had not accepted Islam. That was why he said that regarding him, this is evidence that if we find someone who is dangerous in the community of the Muslims, but the people may not be aware of his dangers. Or a woman who may be dangerous in the community, she goes about people's homes, spread evil about people. That is her job, from one house to the next house. Or that she has a WhatsApp group. Today, many kinds of people have WhatsApp groups. You have WhatsApp groups, they put all their friends there and they begin to chunk out evil, to spoil homes and destroy homes. If you know that kind of a woman, you can warn your wife that this woman does like this, 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 by way of dissuading people and not making them fall for the evil that may be in the hand of such a woman. So if we know people to be really, really evil and dangerous to the Muslim community, we have a duty to expose such persons to the community while being careful about them, while being careful about them. That is the same validity we will have if you know perhaps somebody doing very bad job underneath, but the people will not know. We have a duty to report him to police. We have a duty to report for the person to security. This person is like this, so that the arm is protected, so that the community is protected from the harm of such a person. So the Prophet said that, alayhi salatu wa salam, by way of making the community of Muslims know that this man is only showing to be one of us. He is not, and he is very dangerous. I hope that it is clear that it's not from the aspects of backbiting. Allahu a'lam. Abu Yusuf.
Is one affected by evil eye due to praises?
Due to what?
Praises.
Yes, praise can make the people. Perhaps you have someone who is envious of you, and then they begin to praise you in front of him. He begins to look at you with some evil eyes. What's good about him? And if you are a person who is not also strong spiritually, the evil eye will affect you. This issue of evil eyes, let us come back to understanding that it really affects the victim when the victim himself is weak in his faith. You're a weak person in your iman. You're a weak person where you don't stick to adhkar. If you are a weak person spiritually, that is when evil eyes affect you. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah mentioned how some people may direct evil eye to someone who is spiritually stronger than them. And then the evil eye comes back to the person who sends the evil eye. Do you understand? A person who is spiritually poor, for example, can look at the person with an evil eye. And then the person he looks at is stronger than him. And the evil eye comes back to the person and afflicts the person who started the evil eye. So don't kill yourself about evil eye. What you should pay more attention to is you yourself, your strength, your mind, your spiritual strength, your salah, qiyamul layl, your regular adhkar. These are things that people are weak about. How do you dress so gorgeously, looking very, very, very beautiful in an event? And you go to that event without saying Suratul Falaq and Nas. When they look at you, they can just kill you with the evil eye. Or you are the one everybody is praising, like many young girls now who get married in pomp and pageantry. And they come to those gatherings without adhkar. The evil eye can destroy the marriage itself. So let us be careful. The real issue of evil eye is strengthening yourself, because sometimes you will not even know from where that eye is coming from. Evil eye is real. So protect yourself. And from the means of doing that is being regular with your daily salawat, being regular with your adhkar, and doing a lot of sadaqah. These three things. Being regular with your salawat, being regular with your daily adhkar, doing a lot of qiyamul layl, and giving out a lot of sadaqah. These four things are like protective walls within. Allah will protect you. But praise will come in place when your people's attention are called towards you. In a public gathering, for example, you were praised and praised maybe by a praise singer, and you did not caution the praise singer to stop the praise and the like of that. And then the rest of the jealous people in that gathering begin to set their eyes against you. You are also weak spiritually. That has negative repercussions. May Allah protect us. So strengthen yourself, read as cards. Observe your daily salah at the time. Make qiyamul layl, even if it be one rak'ah in the middle of the night. Read a lot of Quran. Give sadaqah, and then be balanced in your lifestyle. May Allah protect all of us.
Ameen. Ahsan Allah alayhi.
Ameen. You're welcome back, Abu Amir.
This one reads,
Abu Amir.
No.
What did you say last? I did not hear.
Okay, I said, how about students of knowledge who use poem to praise scholars? Do they also fall on Damad Dahun?
It comes from two angles. If it is a author, like what they say of them after the scholars pass away, this is normal, because the scholar had passed away. But when he is alive, if it is said regarding him, what is in him, if you say a poem regarding a learned person, and just within balance of what is with him, and you say that poem, perhaps so that he may be known. Many of there are a lot of very learned people that are not known. Perhaps the rest of the people will know his place in knowledge and perhaps make benefits from him, and he himself, when he meets it, is further encouraged to do more, like we have said. This will not come from blameworthy matter. It will not come from blameworthy praise. Or if it is just to praise your teacher, in fact, the early Muslims would always say that when you overpraise your teacher, you are just praising yourself. If a person comes and says, I learned under a sheikh, and that sheikh is like this, begins to praise the sheikh. This one is very common in the Western world. They praise their shuluch a lot, and that is a way of praising themselves. In fact, many times you find brothers, they've just spent 2 years after graduating from Islamic University in Medina. They begin to write narrations about how they studied, how they learned from one scholar to the other. Just 2 years after you graduated from Islamic University, you spent four years in university, 2 years after that. Maybe you spent 1 year before you came into the university. You have not even spent a decade upon knowledge. You begin to write biography about yourself. I learned from one scholar, I learned. This is from things that are not appropriate. So from that is that they begin to praise their sheikh. When you praise your teacher, the sheikh, you praise him too much. This is from the aspect of praising yourself. So if the student praises the teacher with something that is with the teacher and with balance, not excessive, not by way of projecting the teacher beyond and above other teachers, that one is also there. You want to show to the rest of the teachers that my own teacher is better than you, and the like of it. If it is free of all of these kinds of excesses, then it is lawful and it is allowed. You find this a lot, or it is much, much common when the scholars pass away. It is usually referred to as avatar. It is much, much common when the scholars pass away. But when they are alive, if they know, in fact, some of them, if they know that some of the students are praising like that, they stop them and they ban such things from happening. They say, don't ever say that about me again. Just by way of being humble and modest and protecting themselves, as we know that the companions do in the world. Or if it is within place, if it is balanced, doesn't go beyond him saying about your sheikh what he has not done. And it is not to project a shape above another by way of showing that others are less and this one is big, and all of these kinds of mutual context that we now have in the community. If it is to project good people as good, just like that, for that reason, then that is accepted in the Sharia too. But as for the one who prays, when does he become madar? The madar, like we said, is al-mubalagha. He does it all the time. That's his job. He eats with it. Then this is unlawful. It is not lawful for a Muslim to be madar, to be a person who sings praises for that just to eat food. That's his job. They ask him, what's your job? We always praise people. And this is very, very common with musicians. Musicians is very common with them. That person is madar. And that job is unlawful. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked in this hadith of Miqdad ibn al-Aswad, he commanded that the dust be poured on their faces. The scholars have given two interpretations. Truly pour the dust, or you just deny him for what he's asking for because of the praise. And that would be sufficient disgrace for him, as if he poured dust on his face. I hope that it is clear, Abu Amir. Abu Amir, are you there?
No, I'm Sheikh Anam. Sorry, I have it's a network issue.
No, sorry.
Naam, this one reads, halal. Are there situations where praise singing is halal, like during farming or at war?
we say that it is not lawful to be a praise singer, and praise singing is not lawful. Madah. That is not to say you cannot praise people. There are differences between someone who takes something for a job and when something happens. You can't be a madah, someone who praises people to eat food. Don't be that, whether during famine or during war or during strenuous jobs. No, don't be a madah, someone whose job is to praise the people to eat food. That is the meaning of madah. Perhaps the question intended to say that, can we make madh for people? Can we praise people? Yes, we have said a lot of that about the lawfulness of praising people. Someone does something good like fighting in jihad. Someone does something good like authoring a good book. Someone does something good like giving, teaching Islam. Someone does something good. Yes, you can say good of him, if especially that will encourage him. In the Quran, like the jihad that you mentioned, Allah told the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, harrib al-mu'minin ala al-kitab. Encourage the Muslim, motivate them to fight war. So that is lawful, but it does not make that person doing that job to be a madah. That he praises the people during war does not make him become madah. Hassan ibn Thabit used to sing good words to praise Islam, to praise the Quran, and mention good things about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yet he's not madah. He wasn't madah. Madahun used this thing for food. So they say it like with everybody, like somebody selling water to everybody. If you ask him, what are you doing? He wants to make money for a living. This one is wrong. Whether in the time of war or in the time of peace, or in the time of a strenuous job, don't be a madah. But you can make madah of people in various circumstances. And we repeatedly mentioned that it will be permissible in some cases, in fact, encouraged in some places to praise people. I hope that the difference between these two kinds of things is clear, Abu Amir.
Naam, Shaykhana. Salawatu alaykum.
Amin wa iyakum. Can we make this the last question for today?
All right, sir. This is asking, it says a married woman has a female friend who wants to do nikah. So the married woman would like to go sleep over at the bride's house a day before the nikah to assist the bride. Is that permissible?
If the husband permits it. If your husband permits you to go, then it's permissible. If your husband says no, then stay in the house. That an outing is permissible does not mean that a woman can go. The permissibility of a woman's going out of the home is still connected to the husband. So if it is permissible for you to go, your husband knows that you are safe. You will not come back with evil. You will not spread evil, and evil will not stop you, inshallah. That is one thing. It remains for him to allow you to go. So you can't say because it is allowed, then you have to go whether your husband permits you or not. Your husband's permission is still connected with your going. If your husband permits you, then you can go. If your husband does not permit you, then it becomes unlawful for you to go. I hope that that's clear, Abu Amr.
Naam, Shaykhana. As-salakum Allah.
Ameen wa iyakum. Can we have it a day today?
Naam, jazakum al-khair.
Ameen wa iyakum. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaykum as-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.